may be seated. So again, I'm so thankful that we can come to America and feel like we are home. This child is home to us. And a few years, God was just building things. It was hard for me personally to go to Kenya, but He was a reason. He had a reason for me to go, because I felt like going back to the jungle, what it would, you know. I feel like I want to pursue the American dream, especially when I got an American citizen. I was like, I don't want to go back to that jungle. You know, I don't want to do those crazy things. But He said, can you hear me? And I said, yes. I'm going to share my testimony towards the hand. But this message that it says, be uncomfortable for Christ. I am not an English, you know, English I learned. I can speak 5 other languages. So it sounds redundant when you say, be uncomfortable for Christ. But what I know is this. As a runner, let me tell you guys, I'm a runner. And if you don't believe this, go type David Jerome on a Google and see, you know, how I run. And if you don't believe, right after church, I'm going to do 5 miles with you. I'm just kidding. I know about 4 things. One, when you run, running is not something that is so easy. You know, you get, you know, muscle. You get, you know, you got to train sometimes back, you know, everything. It makes you a little bit uncomfortable. It just makes you like, can I quit this? You know, it's easier to quit to stay home and don't have to run. But let me tell you, it's a good thing. For myself, it's a good thing. This is one thing that I've learned. The more you get better, the more it feels good. And it doesn't feel good to a point that you don't have to push yourself. You always have to push yourself. You keep pushing. So the thing is, if you're a runner, you got to learn to be comfortable, being uncomfortable with the pain, with everything. Same thing to spiritual race. You got to learn that. Sometimes it's maybe a little challenging, but it's a race. Do you want to quit it for a little thing? So that's the title of my message. And we're going to talk about a few things here. First, I want to start with the meaning, because, you know, just as I say, English is not, it's something that I learned. So I started kind of like trying to get the meaning of comfortable. It's allowing you to be relaxed, causing no worries, difficulties, or uncertainty. And uncomfortable is totally the different. It's just not wanting to, causing any feeling of being embarrassed or uneasy. So just as I said again, as a runner, you got to push yourself. And you and I too, brothers and sisters, when we decide we want to follow Jesus, and the things that come in that package, sometimes you got to push yourself outside your comfortable zone. It teaches you to become comfortable, being uncomfortable for Christ, not for you, for Christ. That's the person we serve. I can put miles and miles on this body because I know I will a title, or I'll do that. But what's amazing to know that I win everlasting life. And I can tell somebody to do the same, so that one day in heaven, I can say, hey, we ran that race well together. Can I get amen? Amen. All right, so today we're going to talk about a few things about, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable for Christ. One is trusting in God and getting out in faith. Number 2, letting go of yourself, being the light of the world. 4, being the salt of the world, making personal sacrifice and various adjustments, following God's command for your life. I'm going straight to trust God, get out in faith to where He calls you to be. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, who will I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. That's exactly what happened 2009 when my wife and I, you guys saw all those, it started like 2008, 2012. But I remember the most challenging thing was when we had that who. And when we say, here we are, everything just kind of like came in place. So I might be talking about, you know, some people that I haven't really feel like this journey. I don't know what you have, but I came here to this church, my home church, to tell you that it's possible. You are not doing it. When you do it, you feel so comfortable because you want to stay in your zone. But when you let go, and trust in Him and just hear what Isaiah says, you will be amazed. So He calls you a lot. I say it a lot. He doesn't call you because you have a bigger wallet than anybody. He doesn't call you because you are the best of the best. He calls you. I'll share my testimony. I was heading for destruction, but He called me because I was useless to myself, but I was a valuable to God because He needed me to move the mountains, to move His, to bring people, to do whatever. So to you, I came to encourage you, just trust Him. This journey may cause you to be a little uncomfortable, but if you get used to be comfortable for Christ, you and I will get going and get moving closer to one soul down the road. All right. Number two, here is all what you need, you know, trusting God. All you need to do is just say, yes, here I am, God, for something. I don't know. I want to do something for your glory. Number two, don't do life your way, but do it His way. Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, obey Him. Then He will make your path smooth and straight. I don't know about you, but we get so comfortable when we want. You know, I feel like, you know, I don't know about you, but with me, I'm going to tell you guys about me. I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to you guys. Can we get on the slide? Just get going. Sorry, I didn't tell you. Just follow me along. Just follow me along so people can get. Just find. Okay, another one. Another one. Go, keep going until when we get. Yeah, maybe leave it there. Right there. Okay. I was saying. Hello? Let me teach you how I do in Kenya. When I say hello, you respond, hello. This is for the children. When I tell them in Kenya, hello, they say hello. I say, hello, children. Hello. No, they have a lot of children there. Hello. Hello. This is for mama and daddy and all the boys. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good, good. So what I was saying is, as we want to go to do our way, like we want to do it our way, even when God tells you it's this way, you can't even hear it because you already said, when I do that thing, this way and this way. You already made up your mind. It's just like you can't even hear. And that's what was happening to me because I had planned, as soon as I get the best job, as soon as I do this, I want to do that. But I didn't want to hear that because we have a tendency of getting comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable for something. So we tend to plan our things day when we start our day until the end. Next year, until 5 or 10 years to come, you almost want to plan even how you're going to put in your coffin. It's sitting all sad, but I like this word. It says, depend on Him, obey Him, and He will make your path smooth and straight. Because when we do our way, things don't make sense. It's just like all left, right, struggle. But as soon as you lean on Him, you start saying, all right, I didn't, you know, this is it. You keep pursuing it, Just as how I run, I do 5 miles, and I feel like I have a race in about 2 weeks. Then when I run it and I feel like I didn't do so well, then I know I didn't run the way I needed. I didn't do a workout. I didn't do 10,424 times, you know, to help me run faster the time I wanted. So it's the same thing when I go to the next race. since I train better, I feel a little comfortable, you know, because I can tell I did a little better than somebody else when they are following me, because they'll be going, and I'll be going. You see there? Right? So spiritually, that's what you want the devil to feel. Oh wow, man, this guy is equipped, man, with all, he's been reading Bible, he's been doing this, he's feeling comfortable about it. If I tackle one thing, I can't do anything with this. Let this guy go. I'm just saying, okay, that it's very important just not to focus on you. Just let God, let do his work. Another one, let Jesus use you to be the light of the world in a culture full of darkness. You know, and I like how we started with singing that song about America. And I know, for me, I watch a lot nightly news. That's something that we can get connected with America. And I see a lot of things. And, you know, I call it somebody's turning a switch in America. And I don't know who is turning it. Somebody is turning a switch. I feel like most people are in the darkness. And all they need is you and I, my brothers, that we have the light. And if you read here, a little bit down here, John 8, verse 12. No, John 8, verse 12. And Matthew 5, verse 16. I'm going to read Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine so others can see it. Then they will see the good things you do, and you will bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. Yes. Just imagine. If you go back and read a little bit from 15, you know, if somebody had, you know, he had a lamp and you hide it, how would people see? So I feel like this wall, to be comfortable sharing the Christ, we need to have that people see it. But you don't have to do much. You just have to share your testimony. You have to share the good thing that Jesus have done to you for your life, or whatever things that we take for granted. We don't have to stop person and preach. All you have to, you know, I've come to make a conclusion. A lot of people don't take time to listen to your preaching. They would take time to hear what Jesus has done to you. They're looking for that miracle. They're looking for something. But if you can say, hey, you know, this is what Jesus has done to me, and at the end, hey, how can I pray for you? Some people will tell you all their problems, but if you go hard on them, sometimes here in America, a lot of people don't want to be offended. So for you and I, we want to be comfortable sharing Christ. And by doing that, he is be a little bit comfortable and don't tell yourself, tell what Jesus have done to you. Share that story freely at car station, at work, everywhere. I don't think it will offend anybody, right? Nobody ever, you know, right. Jesus have done a million things. You just need to say, if you're young or old, and people will hear it, and God will give you wherever he will give you to draw people, and you will feel comfortable to go into the next and next by asking, what can I pray for you? Because here, I just say, light, we're so good, we can see each other. But you know those people who don't know Christ are in darkness. They're looking for something so hard. They're looking for either drugs, whatever you name it. Some people feel good holding that gun and going after people because they're darkness. They don't see people. They see what? They see themselves. But here it is, they're dark. But let that light that Jesus gave you be right, flashing on theirs when they feel they're at the end of the world and they can say, Jesus, I see you. And somebody did to me, I'm going to share my story towards the end. He did to me. He shared Christ to me. And I turn around and say, I'm giving all. So you and I, we got the light Jesus gave us. Let's shine. Let's shine. Let's be comfortable to shine it to whoever comes to you. All right, next thing. Same thing. I talk about the light. This time I'm talking about the salt. It goes together. And you know this verse, Matthew 5 verse 13. You are the salt of the heart, but suppose the salt loses its saltness. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. It will be thrown away. People will walk all over it. If you don't understand that, let me give you another illustration. In your home, I bet everybody here has a fridge, right? You go buy your food, and you go put it in the fridge. And you expect when you go walk outside, when you sweat a lot, you want to come and open that fridge and take out your gold ring and say, oh, it feels good, right? Same thing, you know, with that fast salt. I see that as salt. What if you lose your saltivity? You don't feel, you don't mean anything to this wall. And in that sense, you don't mean anything because you took yourself, you know, pride have taken your place in you, and your Christianity, your saltness that Jesus gave you. You know you are special too? You know people would die to lick you? Not literally, okay? But I feel like this wall, they don't taste a lot because you know, a lot of people, you know that. You know a lot of people that you would really want to be close, maybe 2 meters because of the things they do. But I want to be closer to somebody who can tell me about Jesus, right? So I'm just saying, be careful to be comfortable for Christ. You got to let that your saltness, your fire for Christ continue to dwell in you so you can test something for the glory of God so that you can father the glory of God and not become a useless thing that people would want to get it, but when they get it, they see there's nothing. You know? Do you know what I'm saying? All right. That's an encouragement. And I pray to God, okay, help me so that I don't lose my saltiness. And here, he is, please do not lose your great saltiness of Jesus Christ in you. The world needed today. Get out every day and live an intentional life for Christ. Next thing, you have to make personal sacrifice and various adjustments to be able to follow his purpose for your life. You guys know that everybody here, despite of your age, we're given a lot of opportunities every day of wants and needs to father his kingdom. But as we daily make a little sacrifice, let's keep in mind that we do this in the name of Jesus Christ as a gift to one who paid all in Calvary. So what I'm saying is, think about somebody else. Make a little sacrifice. And I'm so thankful that you guys can sacrifice a little penny, a little kneeling down at the end of the day or whatever it is. But you've seen what God is. He does in Kenya. He does a lot. So I want to encourage you, be comfortable doing that. You know, do that, you know, a little bit, cut a little cost there so you can go to a nursing home, you know, all these and things. But it's a good thing with God because you know that God gives us a lot of opportunities. But if we just think on us, ourselves, we never think about those who need Jesus the most. We become comfortable because we have Jesus, but they don't have anything. Yeah. And I'm so glad. I'm going to share a little bit here before I finish. I'm going to read Romans 3 verse 25. It says, I'm happy that we don't, it's here, sorry. Let me share my story before I say it about Jesus, that he did it all in Calvary. I'm going to share my testimony here about making the sacrifice. I'm so glad that we don't sacrifice ourselves. But let me tell you, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and my dad used to drink a lot. I think I've shared this in this church, but I like to share over and over because it's my story. It's who I am, where I came from, and I thank God he made me there. So my mom is the best moonshine maker in the whole world. Nobody else like mom. I don't know if we had a picture there. I don't know if I put it. Just run around to see. It might be right there. But anyway, there. All right, you see? That's how they make moonshine in Kenya. Exactly. They boil something, junk, a lot of things inside, and then the distillation goes on top, and then it comes in the little clear. I don't know what the percentage. It's very, it tastes strong. But anyway, I didn't know until when I was drinking that I'll finish a big bottle. I don't know. 1 liter. What is 1 liter in? I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, and didn't feel nothing. I'll run to school, but when I get to school, I see two teachers. I see one there, one there, one there. That's when I knew I am. There's something wrong with these things I'm taking. And then the next thing, my desk mate would just give a little space between me and him because smell. Like, especially at line time when it's hot, I think it's that cooking in me. Man, it's that cooking. But here is the thing. I did that because it's not like we didn't have food because my mom didn't take time to cook for us. Or when I get home, he say, you finish that and get back to school. Okay, I do that. Do that. But the problem was not that. In the evening when we go home, my mom, can you imagine? Hello? Hello? Can you imagine that? My mom really, she didn't drink. She made it so that the community can come work in our farm. And instead of paying them, she would give them moonshine. They get drunk, they go back, they come again, they work in our farm. So we had food. We had collard greens, families, you know, our relatives used to come to get it. But for us, we never, like some days we couldn't even eat. My dad would come right in the evening when my mom started cooking, you know. I don't want to throw that. You guys wouldn't like me. So he would come, you know, right here. My mom is cooking, and he would come and say, you guys are eating. You think that you work so hard for it? And he goes, the whole galley. And yeah, we felt that way. So it might happen 2 days, 3 days, it might even happen a straight week. We are starving. And I build up this hatred in me. This person in this house, I don't, you know, I hated him so much. So I build something in me, like when I get a little older, to get a little energy, I'm going to do something. And this is what I had decided, that I was going to kill him. Because I love my mom, love my siblings. They were the best friends of mine. I mean, we went through all of them. But nobody had a thought like how I did. So every time I come from school, I'll sharpen my shade. But I'll sharpen. I test it every time to make sure it's so sharp. But one day, somebody from America, hairy guy, can you look at your hand? You're hairy? He came into our community and he was talking about what happens when you don't know Jesus. Yeah, I'm translating correctly. And he started talking about things that I was about to do, things that I was, you know, kind of like so close. And I'm like, this guy is a magician. If it's not a magician, it's a witchcraft. How does he know me? So I started hiding, you know, a little bit. But eventually, I left. I didn't, you know, he said, we can pray, but I was like, I'm not praying. So I went back to home that evening. I couldn't sleep. I hear voices. My body was burning, saying, it's your time. Man, the next day, they had about a week, you know, touring our village. Man, when I went the next day, I didn't want to hear what he says. I only wanted him to hear, to say a prayer, because I wanted to be the first one. I went running. He prayed for me. It was a big relief. Never to this day had to think about that. My mom got saved, all my siblings. I haven't given up praying for my dad. He's never, but I said I will always pray for him. So maybe you and I, you're struggling with somebody. I don't know who cares or whatever the situation is. That's my story. But can you believe Jesus turned around in like 180 degrees to Calvary to see that it's worthless. You can't sacrifice yourself. Jesus did it all and all, and he used me. And for that reason that I stand with you guys, and before the end, I'm going to invite you guys to join me. The last thing I was going to share, next slide, please. Before we get that, the last one is, it is a command, not a request. Joshua 1, verse 9, he said, here is what I am commanding you to do. Be strong and be brave. Do not be afraid. Do not lose hope. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you everywhere you go. Guys, sisters and brothers, I don't know what God has told you, but let me tell you, when he tells you, it's not a request. It's not a please, can you do this for me? It's, you are the right person. If he was able to turn me around from what I had planned for 10 years, 10 good years, and say, no, I'm going to use you to reach out to this family, your community, and your nation for the sake of me. I think the problem or anything that you have that God is telling you to do it, it's a command. You got to let it go and follow it. When we go down here, we're given opportunities every time. But I pray today, as I do invitation, you will choose to obey him. More important, what I've seen about salvation, we try to put it, you know, put it, I'm going to do when the special speaker comes, when somebody else comes. Let me tell you, today, if you felt, you know, God, I've just stirred something in your heart. If it's a salvation or if it's a ministry or whatever it is, I don't know. But what I know, when that person prayed for me, it felt good. It still feels good today, up to today, because it makes sense. It turned around my life. So when you read this verse, 29, Proverbs 29, verse 1, whatever still won't obey after being warned many times will be suddenly be destroyed. Nothing can save them. He that being often reproved, striven his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without renewing. Basically, I had a story like this. One preacher, he said, there was this little girl, not a little girl, a teenager, that he would go and say, ma'am, I want you to listen what Jesus is telling you. Can you give your life to Jesus? And he's like, no. He went again and again. And he left the puke. He came back and prayed for those who, but that same day when this family went home, they got a car crash, and it was a van. So they say the van came and T-ball, and she was in the back, and she died there. This is how the dead ended up. So they couldn't get her out because it got locked down in the back. So the car started getting in fire. It started burning. It's a true story. It started burning. And she keeps saying, Dad, can you help me? Can you help me? I'm burning. Can you? And they couldn't get her. They couldn't get her. It's impossible. She started burning. And Dad just like, he wanted to do everything. He kicked and did everything he couldn't get. Eventually, she died. And she had opportunity and opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities that God tells you. What I'm saying today, you never know the next minute. I want to ask you and I, let's be comfortable, being uncomfortable for Christ's sake. And if he calls you, let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. No eye can see me. I might have talked a lot today. But what I want you to understand is, don't repel. Don't put off whatever God has put in your heart. He says every day, and you know it. You know it. I knew it when he did to me. But as you close your eyes, And maybe there's one in this room that could see me, could open his eyes and say, please pray for me, especially for salvation. I won't be offended. I would be glad to do it because it's a simple word. It's just declaring with your mouth. And it says in Romans 10, verse 9. So if there's anybody here, everybody close their eyes, I want you to look at me. If you want to pray, any prayer, any prayer. And the same thing that I did in Kenya, I think you can do it here. You can get up and come in front. Pastor is here. All those people who know how to pray can pray with you. Let's pray as I finish. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity that I can stand here. I see a lot of eyes look at me, desperate for you. God, I don't know what it is, but only in your heart. I know you can deliver them. They can run to you. As we continue to pray, I want you to come. Just come. Come in front. Don't be afraid. Come. 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 Don't be afraid. I'm just a vessel. I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm a Kenyan boy. I have nothing to lose. But it's so painful to know that God wants something in you and you don't have to do it. It's so wonderful when you let it go to Jesus and he will take it from there and you can live a holy life knowing that whatever happened, you are pursuing his calling. If it's a salvation, it's very wonderful that you can let go whatever it is and worry about one person, Jesus Christ, to help you make through life. You let go everything and come to him. One more time. If you would, come into his altar and tell him, and I know this church, there's a lot of people that will pray for you. One more time. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to praise you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, we want to give you all the praises for talking to us today in a quick bus. Thank you for this church. I want to pray for many blessings. God, I want to pray that you may open doors of blessing. God, there is a lot of people out there that needs a family. I want to pray that you may equip this congregation to go out there and bring them to you, fellowship. Equip them. I know a lot of people here, God, are called for many, many different ways. There's nobody who doesn't have a call. But today, God, I want to pray that you may give them a heart, ears to listen, and to pursue what you have them to do. I want to thank you, God, for this church. Wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity. In your name I pray. Amen.